Hello, this is the Reaction Podcast. Usually it's a welcome, but I don't think any of us want to be where we are right now. I'm Christopher Gallagher, and I'm joined by Barry Gallagher. Hello, Barry.
How you doing, Chris? Absolutely grim. Just feel numb. And yeah, let's just get through this and hope that there's light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully this evening.
Barry, very undisciplined, like the Celtic backline. I didn't ask for a comment, Barry, yet, so let's stay focused.
Pardon each other.
It's already. Lovely to see you, Barry. And Alan Edgar's here. Hello, Alan, how are you?
I'm all right, aye. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
No comment.
That's what we want on the Reaction Podcast.
It's a silent podcast.
Just silent sit-in podcast. Look, we can't beat around it or anything. Celtic lost to Ross County in the League Cup, which brings Celtic's tally of wins to two wins in 10 games, which Celtic have went... No, I'm lost for words. We do our due diligence with these podcasts and these reaction podcasts, and we all genuinely take notes and we comment where we think needs comments made, and you know we plan it out, and it is really structured, even though sometimes it doesn't sound structured and sometimes we have fun. But about halfway through that match, I started to realise that notes didn't really matter, because there came a point where I started to really think we were going to lose, which was kind of an unfathomable point to lose to a mid-table Ross County team that are on a rubbish run of form. Alan Edgar, let's start with you. Just general thoughts about how you're feeling.
Well, it's the end of an era. The end of, you know, one of the most successful periods in the club's history. And it's ended at home to... a pretty poor side. I think they did very well in the day. I think the commentary team actually did a pretty good job of acknowledging that this is a success for Ross County. And, you know, they'll be delighted with that. But it's the end of an era, in more ways than one, I would expect. Our domestic dominance, you know, it's 11 consecutive trophies, potentially 12, I think, that will come to an end. Now has come to an end. And I would expect... with no confidence, I should note that you'll have a new manager as well. I know a lot of people saying that we can't really believe in that, but I need to believe in that at this point in time as I'm speaking just now. So it's difficult, I think, not to add a wee bit of misery or compile the misery, but also think that you've handed a trophy to Rangers in a year in which they might want to get a wee bit of a boost. No, it's frustrating in a lot of ways. I think the performance, first and foremost, was unacceptable from the players, but it's exactly what we've seen over the last couple of months coming ahead. And I really think that Neil Lennon has to do the right thing here, because we've been very respectful of Neil Lennon, and he's rightly got his place as a club hero, legend, however you want to define it. That goodwill, though, is... very, very precarious at this point in time. And I think if he doesn't step down, then there will be a clear mark, a stain on his legacy as Celtic manager. And as a Celtic player fan, I really think that he really has to think quite carefully here about what he does next.
Barry, Alan raises the point of, you know, our domestic dominance of, you know, all the trophies we've won, all the matches we've won in domestic cup competitions. It didn't go out with a bang. It went out with a whimper. That's how I would describe it. How are you feeling right now, Barry?
Just talking to Stu on WhatsApp, and he was just saying he's physically hurting from that, and I know exactly what he means. Yes, we all want a change of manager, but for that performance, it actually hurts you. And... it was a mixture of things. I was really angry during the game, but then it is just that sort of overwhelming feeling of this can't go on, and it's just torment. And the point that Alan raises, it's how often it'll be said in the past that, particularly when you think when Rodgers came in about winning that first League Cup, the sort of confidence that breeds gives you a winning mentality, and it feels like we've just there's no guarantees that they'll win it, but it would highly likely that they will. And it gives their players a taste of success. That first hurdle, and it's just, it is just an end of an era. Horrible.
The first thing I thought of was when we stopped the 10, winning that League Cup, and what that did to us and how it galvanised us as a squad and really kind of made us believe. There's nothing to say that Rangers, this isn't, you know, a fix that Rangers are going to win this League Cup, but, you know, if you were a betting man, you would bet on them, obviously. I'm kind of, and this is the pathetic thing, I put up a stupid meme at full time, and it's a quote from Albert Einstein, right? It's a really famous quote. And Zante is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. We set up, we performed exactly how we've been performing over the last, I don't know how long. And the fact of the matter is, I still thought we were, I said to Claire at halftime, I was like, well, Celtic will probably still win this. And I think, Alan, you kind of alluded to that a little bit, because as much as Celtic are bad, we do have supreme, you know, players in terms of Odson Edouard, you know, Moy came on and stuff. I still thought Celtic would win it, but that's on us, Alan, because not what made us think that Celtic would still win it?
Well, I think, as you say, we do have better players. I think there's a couple of things there. I think this is very symptomatic of what we've seen over recent weeks and months. I think that's quite clear. Yeah. And I've, to be honest, I've not really gave the players a lot of criticism, because I do feel as if the issues are quite systemic. I don't think it's a case of individual performances. I think today, if I'm honest though, looking at it, that really looked like players that not really that fussed about the manager being there. I firmly believe that. I think there was a couple of things that you can read into as well in terms of the changes that were made. I think Neil Lennon made the first sub around the 63rd minute, perhaps. And it was a system change. Yeah, Neil Lennon can't do right for wrong at the moment. I can understand a little bit of his frustration in a lot of ways, because everything he tries seems to fall flat in his face. What the one thing I would say, though, is that the team selection today, I think, was outrageous for a home game to Ross County, who sit in a very low confidence themselves, to pick three central defenders, and Scott Brown and Hatem El Hamid on the right-hand side. You know, you're really saying that the six of your players are defenders, essentially. And that, I think, is unacceptable. And I think, you know, you can criticise the players for the way they played on the park, but I think the team selection, and I know that's, it almost sounds a wee bit tedious talking about team selection, because this is such a huge moment in our club's recent history. But that highlights that right from the off, you know, you've made a bad start. We had to waste a number of subs to make a tactical shift, which it just highlights where we're at. I mean, I think it was a poor selection. I thought the team performance was outrageous. I thought some of the individual performances were awful. It's really, you can level the blame whatever you like today, I think, and you could be right. And that's why I'll be taking a nice sidestep from Twitter today and tonight, because it will not be pleasant. Everybody will be right, but everybody will be disagreeing with each other, and that kind of highlights where we're at.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, seeing situations like this, whether it's Celtic, whether it's Sao Paulo, whether it's, you know, Copenhagen, whether it's, you know, whoever, it doesn't really matter. The players always are kind of at fault, right? The players are always kind of at fault. So you see on Twitter, and you see, you know, Marcus, our very close friend Marcus, who does the press gang stuff, he's always like, well, the players need to be held accountable. They never are. They never are. The players never get held accountable. But that's just the way it is. The player's not trying, the way the player's not putting in as much effort, and then the new guy comes in, whoever the new guy is, and they'll run 5 yards a little faster, they'll track back a little bit more. That's just the nature of it. So the players are at fault. I think Alan's right, I think everyone's right, but I said it when I interrupted the reaction at Sparta game, like, this is beyond players, this is beyond formation, this is beyond Neil Lennon. Barry, going into this game, you know, and I should highlight, Barry's just said that apparently there's about 200 people or so at the ground, and rightfully so. You know, we potentially would have been there as well, but we obviously have to do the reaction. Barry, going into this game after Thursday and just after the clusterfuck that's been the last couple of weeks, how are you feeling? And what's your kind of thoughts? Alan's gave his thoughts on the lineup. What was your kind of thoughts on the lineup as well?
I think going into the game, and I think it's a point that you've made on various pods, Gal, about just the way this season is, there's no confidence going into any single game. And I remember thinking that early on in the game. Usually you would think, rightly or wrongly, it'd be a routine win, but just now you can't put your trust in anyone in that team. But the team selection, much the same as Alan, did the usual thing trying to work out, but was it a back four, was beat on a midfield or whatever, but six, maybe seven defensive-minded players going into a game against Ross County at home when confidence is low, when the best thing that could happen would be to rack up a few goals and maybe paper over the cracks. But you're setting yourself up to fail, I think, with that amount of defensive bodies in the team. It's no secret that we find it most difficult to play against teams that sit in, as Alan mentioned. And I'd like to have seen a wee bit more forward-thinking, creative players, especially in midfield. Yes, he went with two strikers, but again, hardly any service. There's a couple of chances that we'll probably come on to, but no, there's a horrible feeling around everything to do with Celtic just now. And yeah, that was my thoughts going into the game as well.
I think it's interesting because I think in the Cool WhatsApp group, they were saying about how essentially Michael Stewart is saying a lot of things that are making sense. And me and Claire were talking about it. And yeah, Michael Stewart was making points, but Michael Stewart was making really, really basic points. So if Michael Stewart, who isn't in management himself, is sitting there thinking, you know, this is what's happening now, and this is how you could counter that. Cotterwell, whatever, Eddie Munster, whatever you want to fucking call him, he would have been sitting there, and we would have watched the Sparta game, he would have watched the Hibs game, and he would have went, oh, right, okay, well, this is how we play against them. They're going to try and play through the middle. They're going to try and come through the middle. That's fine. We'll just put a block up. Alan, was it that simple?
I think they worked really hard. I think County followed the game plan that you need to against Celtic. I think that's quite clear. If anything, they could have probably been a little bit more adventurous on the counter, but they got their goal because we always give away goals. We do that. I think that first goal, I think, Barry, you said it, that this is kind of Inverness Cali, modern day equivalent. And that first goal is comical. I mean, three players all attracted to the ball. Scott Brown, whose their job is to provide a bit of cover when he's called into action, then gets in a foot race with a defender or a fullback and loses it. And then I don't know if it is a penalty, to be honest.
I'm not certain either.
A wee bit soft, but you know, no real complaints. It looked clumsy. I think Chris Ayer's reaction just kind of said a lot, you know, just turned his back, walked away. Barkas and Julien had a bit of a debate over it. I mean, it was just awful. They followed the game plan that every other team needs to, and there was no change from us. That crossing from deep, you know, I think if I see El Hamid's crossing from maybe 30 yards out, 10 yards in from the touchline, that's a hard cross, and especially a right footer, I don't know what the attempt is there. We don't really have guys that are great in the air either, so game plan was horrendous. The execution of that plan as well was even worse today.
I'm just looking at the I've got the TV on and I'm looking at their first penalty. El Hamid sort of just turns his, like when he's going in for the challenge, he just kind of does nothing. He just kind of flaps his arms and kind of just turns his back a little bit. And then Bitton is jogging, Scott Brown. It's shambolic. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Alan.
I think, to be honest, it's an odd... We all talk about how we might feel in certain moments. You know, people saying before the game, you know, if we lost, then would that be such a bad thing? People saying that they're angry. Some people saying they're despondent. To be honest, I felt entirely emotionally detached for 90 minutes, if I'm being honest. I wasn't screaming at the TV, which is very unusual, especially with that performance. When they went 1-0 up, I felt that I didn't think we'd come back into the game. And to be honest, I wasn't sure whether I even say that on the podcast here, because I'm very wary of saying things that make it sound as if I have no interest, which is obviously not the case. But this is what happens when you feel as if you're not being listened to, or that you don't have a voice as a fan. And we are sitting here recording this. To be honest, I think I would be, you know, I stay fairly close to City Park. I will be joining people, you know, after this, because I do feel as if that we need to, you need to let the board know how you feel, because otherwise we will just continue to feel this detached way. And I feel that if that's not the case, then, you know, 10 in a row is already gone if we don't make that change. And that change has to happen tonight. Ideally, I would like to see Neil Lennon announce it himself and say that he is stepping down, because I think that would be the right thing to do. If he doesn't do that, you know, I presume he won't do it in his post-match press conference, but if he doesn't, then tomorrow morning, I would expect by the time we are recording the agenda that, you know, the club will have put out a statement. And if they haven't, then you will have people just at Celtic Park continually until it happens.
Barry?
I think if you look at it purely from a Neil Lennon point of view rather than a Celtic point of view, this is his chance to save face and save that goodwill, Alan, that you mentioned at the start.
Yes.
This is his chance to say, I've tried everything I can, I love the club, but some things come to an end and I'm stepping aside in the hope that someone else can come in and try and win 10 in a row. And then if we do win 10 in a row by some stroke of luck, miracle, whatever you want to call it, then Neil Lennon would be welcomed back with open arms, I think. If he doesn't, if he is sacked, then he might still be, but he can control the narrative, is basically what I'm trying to say. He can go in and say, I love this club, it's not working, this is bigger than me, and I want to step aside to let someone else have a go. And then
Barry, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to say, what happens if he does control the narrative by saying, we're out of the League Cup, which we're disappointed about, but the main focus this season has been the league, and I can guarantee we'll have it all changed by the 2nd of December, 7th of December.
So what
if he says, I'm staying in this job because I'm convinced I will have it right by St Johnstone?
I think there'd be protests every day until he was removed. I know the restrictions, etc., but you know how much we love the club, fanatical supporters. The Celtic way would be full every single day until he's removed. And
I mean, sorry to jump in again, Barry, but we're at that point.
Yeah.
Like, we're at that point. Yeah. Like, there's, you know, over the last, I mean, we thought that point would have been Sparta. I think the three of us thought that point would have been Sparta, the home game, but it wasn't.
Yep.
Then we thought after Hibs, something might happen. But after the Sparta game on Thursday, I think everyone was like, it's going to happen. But we're so beyond that now that after today, there's no chance he stays in the job, right? There's no chance he stays in the job.
I think the telling thing here is, I mean, again, to try and maybe let people know, obviously we're on the Zoom call so we can all see each other. Every one of us right now has got half an eye on this podcast and half an eye on the TV or our phones, because we want to know what's said. And I tend not to be particularly fussed about post-match interviews. My opinion is that he will not do it in a post-match interview, because I think there's maybe some, you know, technicalities in terms of it that you want to sort out. And given the relationship that he does have with Peter Lowe, clearly, I think, you know, they'll maybe want to get their heads together. But to be honest, I think the news has to come quickly. You need to change the narrative. You really do. And you need to take hold of it. Because otherwise, as Barry says, you will have people. You will have people on the Celtic way until it happens, and that's quite, it's unseemly, it's not ideal, and it's a shambles, but this is the stage we're at, and it does need to happen. I apologise because I keep going off topic about the actual game.
It's all right, look, you know, Sir Manny's put in the Cynic WhatsApp chat, it's a picture of just a lot of people at the Celtic way, and Brian McManus has said, just waiting on the Sky Sports yellow ticker that says Lennon resigns, and I think, you know, we all sort of are. The fact is, we could spin this another way. A new manager coming in is going to give us a boost, and it's going to give us a bounce. And I said, and we all said, that preferably this would have happened at least a week ago, which would have given 2 weeks. But if it happens tonight, if they can sort something out quickly, we could have a new manager in place for the San Siro, and we could have a new manager in place for that St. Johnstone game at home. That run of fixtures now, with a new manager, with new ideas, with new ways of stimulating these players, that run of fixtures could look winnable. Alan?
See, even if you think, and I think there are probably very few people, if you have full faith in Neil Lennon as a coach, which obviously I think the club seem to have had, the run of results now dictates that you need to make the point, because what you need to do as a club like ours, with the kind of stature in terms of our success rate, is you need to highlight that this is not acceptable. So you don't get the chance to dig yourself out of a hole at this, because it's untenable to be in that position. So even if you really like this coach and you felt that he can turn it around, you now need to make the change, because you need to send a message to the fans, you know, most importantly, probably the shareholders, because that's where the priorities lie. So that's what you need to do. You now need to make that change. And also for the players, you look at those players today, and I don't think we hold the players in particularly high regard at this point in time. They're getting off with it a wee bit because we know that the manager needs to go. But these players can improve. And see, if a new manager does come in, what you need somebody to come in and do is come in and say, see everything that's happened up till now, forget it. You need to bring someone in that can say, put their arm around them a wee bit. And I know people might get annoyed with that, but that's what you need to do with players. You need to put your arm around them a bit and say, here, I'm in charge now, and here's what I want you to do, and here's how you're going to do it. We always talk about coaches, and you hear coaches say it. You need to show players how to win games. It's them that goes and does it. But players need to be shown a pathway, how you win this game. And Neil Lennon's not got that ability at the moment, and you can see that from the way they're playing. If you bring someone in, they'll very quickly be able to say, here's what I want us to do. If you guys go out and do this, yous will be okay. And that's what we need. And if you get that, and you manage to get, you know, that win against St. Johnstone in the 7th with a new manager, at that point he says, right, that works, you are good players, and very quickly you can find it again. But it's no coming under Neil Lennon, and I'm sorry to say that.
Just on that point, Alan and Gal, as you said, it's a favourable run of fixtures, so it kind of almost buys the new manager time. If he can come in, get a bounce out of them, but all the while working throughout the week on his structure, his way of playing, his ideas, he's not going to have to go away to tough away grounds to do that. He can almost get by giving them the confidence to play, reminding them that they are good players. Here's a system, and then we're going to work on this over and over again until it becomes routine. But just reading this stat there, it's the first time we've lost 4 games in a row at home since 1958.
Fucking hell.
That's fucking hell. Mental. And I know we spoke earlier about what, the cup runs come to an end, but we're setting all these new records for all the wrong reasons. Over the last few years, we've had the Invincibles, 60-odd games, and it all seems to be whittling away in the space of 2 months, and it can't continue.
I just want to highlight the fact that Ross Stewart, who played up front for Ross County, you know, 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, I was sitting with him at work in the civil service, and he's having money back.
He hated you that much that he thought, I'm going to go and become a professional football player because I can't work in an office with this guy.
Mate.
And within 2 years, he's now playing at Scottish Premier League level. That is quite some commitment to not want to sit beside you.
Mate, stop talking about your fucking podcast, for fuck's sake. But no, I just mean the fact is, though, you know, Barry.
It's pretty funny if he texts you tonight saying, fucking talk about me now, you prick.
Just joking.
It's funny. It's actually a hurt me.
It's actually horrible. It's horrible. But you know, the biggest thing. Oh, there's Neil Lennon on just now. Yeah. He's doing his. So we briefly paused the recording, which is something we genuinely don't usually do. We like to record straight through, but we wanted to see what Neil Lennon had to say. And everything we said at the start of this podcast about how this is Neil Lennon's opportunity to say this wasn't good enough, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to step away. He didn't. He said that there was total domination of the game. He said we were in a bad moment. Which I always thought was what foreign players said because their English wasn't good. They used the phrase bad moment because their English wasn't good, but he was using it like it was a normal part of English. We need to ride it out quickly. We need to tough it out. We need to keep going. We came up short today, but we only lost via a penalty and a set play. The atmosphere was brilliant yesterday. He looked completely lost for ideas or concepts or whatever. I'm sure if you're listening to this now, you will have saw that post-match reaction. Barry, how are you feeling after listening to that?
It basically just makes a mockery of everything I said before watching it about him controlling the narrative. He's actually feeling pretty angry again now. I know I spoke earlier about going from anger to sadness and numbness, but he's fucked it there for me. Nice if I it. Didn't want him out, I want him out right now. That's a disgrace saying that. It's almost as if he's removed from the situation. Like he talks about passive performances. That's a passive interview saying, oh, we were great. The atmosphere was great. Who cares? I don't care if everybody was hugging and cuddling yesterday and loving each other. It was a shit show on the pitch and he's a disgrace. Disgrace after that.
Barry, Alan, thoughts?
I agree with Barry. I think, to be honest, I don't want to hear Neil Lennon talk about how good the atmosphere is at the moment because it should be toxic. Yep. We have just been disgraced at home against, you know, Ross County and a cup competition that we've won for the last four consecutive years. Don't come out in the post-match interview and make, you know, talk about how good the preparation was because
doesn't fucking matter.
If it's resulted in that, then I'll be honest, I read that as a plea for the manager to be sacked, to be honest. I don't know the dynamics. Maybe we'll try and dig into it a wee bit more and see what we can get. But the dynamics of when a manager is removed. But that sounded very much to me like, no idea. I'm out of ideas. From a wee technical standpoint as well, Rory Hamilton, who is genuinely excellent, the commentator and the interviewer on Premier Sports there, the questions for me were...
Softball.
Not even softball, just a bit vague, you know, asking about... You know, does the atmosphere change from positive? You know, I think that was his last question. Not ideal. You need to ask clearer questions. And I think you then give the opportunity for the manager to kind of go on a wander as to what he likes. It must be a difficult situation, but I'd be a bit disappointed. If that was, I think there could be a lot more direct questions than that asked after that performance. That's one of the worst results in our recent history.
I think just on that, Alan, I think Rory Hamilton does a lot of our commentary, doesn't he? So we spoke yesterday, and I know you guys mentioned it on the preview about there's too many people who have got it cosy and easy at Celtic. They don't want to ask the questions in fear of being papped out or left aside.
Which is why we've not been invited to the press conferences recently.
And that's not what we need. We need people to question things. And that's why, as a fan base, there's people outside Celtic Park just now because it's in our nature to, if things aren't right, try and put them right. But just a feeling of anger hearing that interview. And now it's over to the Celtic board to remove him from the position. He had his chance. He might still do it later. Maybe it was a brave face. But for me, it's over to them and get him out tonight.
To stand there and say... Everything was great last night. The atmosphere was great. Everyone was happy. They were looking forward to it. We prepared well. If that's us preparing well, if that's the atmosphere great, then you can't do the job. Like,
see when he was talking about set pieces as well. I mean, see the set piece that we lost? That's happened before. That's happened in the last few weeks. We lost a goal against Cal McGregor at front post. Passive. What game was that?
That was against Sparta on Thursday.
You know, we've lost a goal like that. I just felt that the performance was very... It looked like a squad that's, to be honest, on its knees. I mean, Scott Brown was horrendous today. That was a woeful performance. And to get 90 minutes as well. We talked about Scott Brown in the preview with the new manager come in. The new manager watches that, he'll think Scott Brown's...
Finished.
Done.
He's the first one to go out.
You know, a lot of people put on the socials and stuff about, you know, highlighting the fact that Neil Lennon was a bit, he wasn't even that. I listened to the press conference where they were talking about the fact that Ryan Christie played three games for Scotland in the space of, you know, like 10 days. And he says, you know, I'm not going to tell Scotland how to do their things. I'm not going to tell Steve Clarke, but we're a little disappointed. He's just played Scott Brown in three games for 90 minutes in what, 7 days? 8 days? Like, what?
35-year-old.
What is that? I'm fucking raging. Like, now after that press conference,
we talked about maybe the team, in the preview, we talked about maybe what do we think the overall approach would be. Neil Lennon has the worst possible outcome here. He's picked his best team on the day that he believed could win the game, and they've lost. See if he would have played the kids, you know, get Cameron Harper in, get Karamoko Dembele, if Karamoko would play for him. Unlikely.
Unlikely,
I think at this stage, to be honest, but nevertheless, you know, if you had that chance to get those boys in, give Stephen Welsh a game, you could then look at it and say, well, we've played a weak team. You've played your best team there, and you've been beating 2-0 at home to a team that haven't won since September. I think the stat that was read out was in the last however many games their aggregate score against them was 26-1. I mean, this tells you everything you need to know. We'll look back at this in 10 years, 20 years, and we'll talk about this day and this result. And the question is now whether we talk about it and laugh because we go on and have a successful season, or whether we talk about it and say that was the lowest point, one of the low points of the season, and it would go on to just fizz out. Because it feels to me like we will not be in the title race come the next Old Firm game, Celtic Rangers game, rather. Christ.
Yeah,
I'm all over the place.
You're all over the shop. I mean, what I thought was mental was the press conference on Friday when Neil Lennon said that we can get the season started now.
Fucking December, Neil.
Oh, fucking December. Throwing away our European. No, and listen, I love European football. I want Celtic to be the top of it. I want Celtic to be part of it. We sacrificed that. We didn't. Would you just that? I'm honestly shooketh to my core by that fucking. You need to go, Neil Lennon, as the Celtic manager, Alan.
Well, let's change the subject for a minute. Premier Sports have got fucking Davy Weir and Alan McCoyston before the Rangers game, and we got Michael Stewart and
Alan Stubbs.
Alan Stubbs, fucking hell, man. Sorry. I thought I'd be trying to change the subject entirely.
The big worry I have.
And Emma Dodds, who does Rangers TV, I believe, as well.
Yeah, the big worry.
Are you letting folk into the stadium like that?
The big worry I have now is that Alan Stubbs is leaving, walking down the hall, and Peter Lowell goes, "Oh, Alan, can I have you for a minute?" How do you fancy?
Peter Lowell left the stadium very, very quickly after some time, I believe. Wise move, I would suggest, as well.
The game itself, I watched back the. Yeah, as one of you guys were talking, flashed up the second goal, and I mean it's awful.
I know I kind of half joked saying I'll put us out of our misery, but Gal and I were speaking just before we went on air, and it didn't hurt any less. See when that went in, it was just compounded everything. Terrible defending, the ball just kind of. Free header straight into almost like an empty net. I'm not seeing it back, but it seemed so easy. And it's just Celtic all over. Easy to play against, no fight. And I literally said, I thought they were going to score from that corner.
I need to jump in here. Ross County didn't really do anything special. They didn't do anything. Alan says they didn't actually... And I agree with them in terms of the counter-attack. They played the ball up to Ross Stewart. He held the ball up, but there was no runners off him. So a lot of the time, he was the furthest up and he was outmanned and outgunned, right? Like, they just played a really, really... They played like a team that are worried that they're going to lose as much as anything because they were really tight at the back. They were defending and they were... Don't get me wrong, they gave their all, but they were too scared of committing too much going forward. And they still beat us 2-0. We still could... You know, this is the level we're at just now, Barry.
Yeah, I think you're dead right there. The plan was get up to Stewart. And normally, if you're playing, if you think about teams that play that way against us, they hit the big man and then get him to lay off and then run in behind. But it was just a case of hoping that he would win a foul. But the ball just kept coming back. We kept getting the ball and doing nothing with it. Side-to-side passes, out to El Hamid, crosses from deep, and then rinse and repeat. And the only way they were going to score again was from a set piece, and it's exactly what happened. And you could have written this narrative before the game. That's just how to play against Celtic. It's a blueprint. Just get in our faces, try and get a penalty, try and get a goal from a cross, from a corner or a set piece, and it's so easy. And that's the first thing. The first thing a new manager has to do is work out, or not even work out, just make us more solid at defending.
Structured, that's the word. Honestly, and I'm not being a dick here, but I don't really think that Neil Lennon understands what the term total domination means, because total domination isn't just having the ball and passing it side to side. And that's the thing. He thinks just because we've got the possession that it's domination. That's completely inaccurate, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we looked vulnerable on the counter-attack. I thought Nia Beaton particularly looked quite shaky. But you've seen it in the first half. Chris Ayer was slack on it. Chris Julien gives away the penalty. And Nia Beaton, on a number of occasions, get caught out. I mean, you know, if you've got central defenders that are looking like they're not having a great time, I'd probably exclude Chris Ayer from that for the most part. Don't play more of them. boil the game down to a bit more basic, but see, if your weak point is defenders, don't pick more of them. You know, don't say let's play three instead of two. You know, your attacking players, you know, I know we've got an issue with natural width at the moment. Don't drop Mohamed El Younoussi then. You know, I know he likes to come inside, but he picks the ball up wide. Ryan Christie today, you know, doing what he's been doing for weeks. You know, and I thought, you know, in the first half at least, he tried to make things happen. You can't give him a free roll. You can't say, just go and do what you like, which is quite clearly what he's been told. And, you know, I'm starting to get quite frustrated that people at our level, you know, in terms of the way we watch games, we are now able to quite clearly see how bad Celtic are and how we to play against them. You can bet everything you've got. If we can see it, and guys with our level of football and kind of knowledge and understanding can see it, you better believe that analysts from other clubs can see this a mile off. You watch us go to Milan on Thursday, Milan will know exactly how to play against us. Yeah. Gaps between fullbacks and centre-halves, if you play four, failing that, the whole channel, if you play three. And they'll look at that and say, we'll win that game comfortably. Their analysts will be looking at that saying, we will be able to win this game comfortably. We might even be able to rest a few players. You know, it just highlights at the moment, the decay in our football club is rapid and it's accelerating. It's not slowing down. Neil Lennon talks about, you know, we need to win a game at the moment. Neil Lennon's target is to win one game right now.
Yeah,
no. We're in a title race. We need to win every game.
I put out a tweet on Friday, I think, after the press conference, where essentially what I said was that whoever plays us now just has to watch the Sparta Prague game, and just that's how you pick us off. Now, Ross County didn't even necessarily have to do that. You know, they had one real breakaway in the first. They had two opportunities in the first half of this game. The first one led to the penalty, and the other one led to a shot that ball over the top. Stewart heads it on. There's a runner onto it who volleys it. You know, it goes into the side netting, but it was fucking Wimbledon 1992 football. Do you know what I mean? It was so simple and it was so basic, and good for them, because they saw, listen, they're not winning second balls. I shouldn't know that Celtic aren't winning second balls as just a standard fan. Like, I should be like, well, how technically do we get inside it? Well, Celtic aren't winning second balls, so you win the first one, they're probably not going to win the second one. So if I know that, and I'm not even a football analyst, the Ross County guy will be sitting going, okay, I'm on Y Scout, let's look at these passages. Yep, this is how we get them. Barry. Yeah.
And there's so much footage for them to go through, because it's happening every single game. It's not like a one-off. It's every single game. It's the same thing that lets us down. Alan mentioned there about Moy El Younoussi. And I think, Gal, you'd said it in the WhatsApp earlier. He's in the papers, all over the papers today, sort of effusive in his praise for Neil Lennon. We're fighting for him. And then he finds himself on the bench. I was like, what the fuck is going on? The whole game, there was no width whatsoever, as Alan mentioned. And he's sitting, he should have been on his phone, texting his agent to say, get me the fuck out.
The dynamics of a team as well, every single you know, any football team, everybody wants to be playing, right? Everybody wants to be playing. And see, if you're not playing, nobody ever thinks, ah, that's fair enough. You always think, I want to play and I can improve this team. How do you think Olivier Jam feels when he watches Scott Brown on Thursday night have an absolute stinker, watches him have a stinker today? And if Neil Lennon is a manager tomorrow, you know, or Tuesday rather, when they train, do you think Olivier and Cham's going to think, I'm going to bust mass in training? I mean, now this is getting into dangerous territory, because what we're starting to see is, you know, you're actually starting to understand why. But see, if it was me, and this has happened over a number of months, so it's not a case he's been dropped once, because you do that then what you think is, well, I'm going to show that manager.
Good reaction.
See now, see, it's happened a million times before. You know, Neil Lennon's been charged 18 months and Olivier Cham can't nail down a starting place. And by the way, he's not perfect. I'm not talking about, you know, he doesn't fix our problems. He had a stinker on Thursday himself. But see, when it comes to Tuesday and Neil Lennon sets up the session, see, if I was Olivier Cham, I'd be thinking, if I do well, great. See, if I don't, okay, what does it matter? Because the likelihood is on Thursday night, he'll go with his captain, because, you know, there's a relationship there, and he quite clearly, you know, believes he can do more, despite the fact that I said yesterday Scott Brown would comfortably be able to perform at SPL level or SPFL level for the next 6 months. Nope. By the way, see if he puts on performances like that, he wouldn't get a game for Hibs, Aberdeen. So, you know, the problems are maybe a wee bit worse than we thought. So there's an alternative to this. There's an alternative. See if the players go into training on Tuesday and another manager is there, a new face, very different story. Because what they then go is and say, well, by the way, everything's up in the air. It's a meritocracy again. You know, Thursday night becomes who's the best team, who's the best players. And the work on that on Tuesday, Wednesday, fly out Thursday, different story. But if Neil Lennon's in charge on Thursday, more of the same.
There is no bad feeling around the place. We need to collectively change things around. It's penalties and set plays that are costing us.
By the way, Gil, just to come in on that, there'll be a bad feeling when they're leaving tonight. I'll tell you that, because every one of those players will take dogs abuse tonight. Some guys will never have seen this, because everybody, you know, and Cham, Edward, it's everything at Celtic so far has been
roses,
perfect. You know, maybe Scott Brown, Cal McGregor might have seen that a little bit. See, a lot of these new boys, you know, the guys that have been here since the Rodgers era, you know, everybody, Rogic, these guys, they'll have all, this will be the first time they've ever seen anything like this. It's the first time probably everybody in that squad's seen anything to this extent, but they'll feel it tonight. So if there's not a bad feeling now, there will be tomorrow.
The thing that gets me is that it's penalties and set plays that are costing us, as if that's the only thing. Did we not lose goals from open play against Sparta? Did we not lose goals from open play against Hibs? Like, you know, we may have to look at how we set up to defend them. See, this is a new narrative that Neil Lennon's pushing, that all of our problems are from set plays and that's it. But it's, I mean, it's, you can, it's absolutely, you can see through it. And then he just finishes by saying, different times now, I can't go apoplectic with the team. Can't shout at them. Can't do it anymore, can you? You can't, you bloody, you know, because of the EU. The fact of the matter is, there's lots of...
The EU?
I don't know. I was just trying to be like a gammon guy.
Dave, I appreciated that. It was good.
There's basically...
It's not my humour.
Dave Flanagan, who's part of the press gang at the Celtic Park, he's at Celtic Park. He says there's lots of fans and there's lots of police as well. They'll have to take notice of that, frankly.
Good on Dave as well. I do. Every single person that goes down there, you know, there is, and the mainstream media have peddled this narrative a lot this week, but no, this is the only thing you can do.
Yeah.
You know, I do, I feel a bit guilty that we're sitting here, you know, very modern 21st century men, we're sitting recording a podcast. But in reality, that, you know, that's what you've got to do. There's no other way to express your opinion, because funnily enough, Twitter doesn't really garner the interest that people might think it does. See, standing at stadium and, you know, letting Peter Law, if he was still in the stadium, or letting the people there know, they will take notice. You can bet the back pages of the paper, no matter what happens in any other game, back pages and perhaps the front page of the paper tomorrow will be people outside Celtic Park demanding change.
Yeah. And Barry?
And it's not the internet bampots or whatever, all the dismissive stuff they like to say. Alan, you made a good point yesterday on the preview about, see, these people telling Celtic fans how to act and what's acceptable. Yeah, that's not for me. And it's the same not to have a go at other Celtic fans, but see Celtic fans say, oh, that makes us as bad as them. Who cares? They're laughing at us already. I'm not even interested in them. As I said earlier, it's in our nature to be rebellious. We force change. We didn't let our club die. So if you're not pulling your weight at Celtic, you can fuck off.
Yeah.
And that's what he has to do.
I'm not gonna apologise for how I feel, and none of us will apologise for how we feel, because Celtic literally pulsates around my brain and my heart almost 24 hours a day. I built a fucking job around it because I wanted to talk about Celtic so much. And the fact of the matter is that the way I feel is that Neil Lennon needs to go now. Neil Lennon needed to go 2 weeks ago, but Neil Lennon cannot, as far as I can see, continue to be the Celtic manager, because this is the end of the road. And if nothing else, by the way, his comments after the game absolutely confirm that. But Alan's put on his German beer hat that he likes to. I believe Alan's going to go and drink some beer now. And
I wasn't planning to, but fucking bet your ass I will be now.
Look, we're going round in circles at this point if we just keep talking about Neil Lennon leaving and stuff. Is there any further kind of points you want to make about the game? We'll obviously... myself, Alan's on the agenda tomorrow, myself, Alan, and Kieran Devlin. And we'll pick right back up. Hopefully something happens within the next hour.
I've got a wee tickly cough, Gal. I don't know if I'll make it tomorrow.
Well, you know, even if you've got a tickly cough.
You get a text in the morning.
Yeah.
I won't make it into work today.
Stuart Duggan.
I bet you if Lennon's gone, you'll be fucking jumping out of bed.
But we will endeavour to kind of discuss it in more detail tomorrow over the agenda. Hopefully we're discussing where we go from here. The reaction to this game is more than just the game itself, but is there any kind of final points, Alan, is worth making? Or if not, then even just final kind of thoughts on the game, or just thoughts on the situation even.
I think this is a watershed moment. I do. I'll stick my neck out and say that Neil Lennon won't be Celtic boss on Thursday night. And I think there'll be, and if he is, then, you know, as Barry says, you'll be populating the Celtic way. Every day after work, I'll be popping down.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too.
I know it's embarrassing. It's a wee bit mortifying. It is, but you know what? If that's what I need to do and say that I've done my wee bit, then that's what I'll be doing, because this is unacceptable. The decline from, you know, within the space of 18 months, 2 years is quite frightening. And it's we're not at rock bottom yet as well.
No, exactly. Barry, kind of final thoughts yourself?
Yeah, nothing really to take from the game itself. Just the same as what Alan said. If you think how packed, in fact, Alan and I were there together after the double treble. The good feeling, thinking this is us set up for the next few years, part of the atmosphere, and it's all gone to shit. And as Alan said, if they don't make the change tonight, tomorrow, then it's going to turn nasty, I think, outside Celtic Park. Because this can't continue. It's every single week now, and this feels like, I know I've said it many times on the podcast, but this feels like the end now. This feels like our Inverness Cali, and it's up to Celtic how they shape the direction. Do it now, try and salvage the 10, or God help them next season.
Inverness Cali Thistle, St Mirren, Ross County. I'm Chris Gallagher. This has been The Reaction. Been the reaction. Been the reaction.